Hi, I'm Heaton, and this is the Startup Chat.
And I'm Stelly, and today we're going to talk about a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
Patrick McKenzie, also known as Petty 11 on the internet.
That's right.
Especially on Hacker News, because he used to be or still is the number one...
Number one user, but that doesn't matter. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
Ooh.
But that's a different story. So let's keep going.
All right. So why do we want to talk about Patrick McKenzie? So, first we want to try out a new format. We thought about what other ways can we make this show interesting to ourselves and to the audience and valuable.
Yeah.
And one idea that Heaton had was we could talk about people. We still don't feel like inviting people and interviewing them necessarily, but we could talk about them, right? And there's a few people that we want to talk about, but Patrick is a mutual friend.
Yes.
And I think he might be a great person to talk about specifically for our audience, in the sense that I think our audience can learn a lot from him and how he did things so far in his career.
And many of you might even know about him.
Oh, yeah.
So, and we needed to find somebody that we both loved, honestly, first at least.
Yeah.
So that's why we're going to talk about Patrick. So let's just get started and talk about Patrick.
All right. So how did you get to know Patrick?
It was probably some email that was sent. And then I met him in person. Email either one of us sent about something. Just randomly.
Okay. So you didn't know him on Hacker News. You didn't read.
No, I knew of him on Hacker News and all that. But at some point, somebody sent an email.
Right.
Or an intro.
Okay. In my case, well, I knew him on Hacker News. And I knew I had read kind of the first few. I knew him as the bingo teacher card dude.
Bingocardcreator.com.
Yes. Exactly.
That business that he created and blogged a lot about transparently. Yeah. On Hacker News, right?
Which was the thing that created the, I think, a real audience for him.
Absolutely,
And kind of was this very lovable, persona.
Friendly
person, very thoughtful, somewhere in Japan, slightly obscure, starting this bingo card creating website for teachers.
That's right.
And making some money with it.
Yeah.
And kind of, writing about his journey, the ups and downs, the revenue numbers, everything.
I'd say he was one of the first of the new crew or new cohort of people that started writing about how much money they were making. And because he was already pretty popular on Hacker News or right around that time, I think he got a lot of attention for doing that.
Right.
Right.
I don't know how we got in touch, probably also an email exchange at one point or another.
This is years ago, I'm sure, both of us. For me, it was years ago. Yeah.
For you, it was years ago. Yeah. For me, it was last year.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So it's been 2 years or so.
Awesome.
And then, first he at some point referenced to something that I did, and I was surprised that he even knew I existed.
Yeah.
Same way I was surprised when we met, where you were Stelly's blog writes about da-da-da.
Yeah.
I was he knows about what we do. All right, that's cool.
Let me give you a sidebar there, right? Mm-hmm. Him and I, we both, I think, read a lot online and are online a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And so, we know a lot of the characters, right? And you're one of the characters, right?
Yeah.
And to that point, I'll say one thing I was impressed by with Patrick, just the whole time I've seen him do stuff is... the way he grew the audience on Hacker News was just by being there and by being involved and interacting with the community and being super fast on submitting, super fast on commenting, and trying to be super helpful. This is why I really admire him.
So, all right. So that's a beautiful way of starting. Maybe we just look at his career, and we kind
of talk about it.
Try to draw lessons out of it.
Yeah.
So he is a dude who's an engineer, lives in Japan.
Yeah.
And it becomes part of this online community, Hacker News.
Yes.
That it in itself was growing really fast during that time and becoming more and more popular. And all he did was just being a very active, very valuable member at first, right?
Yep.
And that got him a following. So, and this is kind of the small, all these people thinking, and we talked about this, there are episodes that we talk about how to build your reputation, how to build your personal brand.
That's right.
Here's something that seems so small that people like to overlook it.
That's right.
Well, I can't just comment on a forum.
Nope.
Right? How can I write a book?
So,
how can I be, interviewed on all the podcasts? How can I be popular and famous? He just commented on shit at first.
Yeah, he just acted.
Yeah.
He just gave a shit.
He posted interesting things. He commented thoughtful thoughts. It was just a community member that was there.
I have to draw a parallel. So the thing I noticed, I would say, in what I used to call the post-bubble era. So this was after the bubble burst and stuff started picking up, is actually the brand Mashable was created in a very similar way. Pete Cashmore at Mashable would do is he'd be a top comment, the first comment on TechCrunch on almost every post.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And back then there wasn't like, it wasn't even just SEO he was doing, obviously, but he was essentially doing the same thing I would say that Patrick was doing. He would just show up and comment on someone else's community, essentially, where, you know, this kind of behavior was rewarded, right? This was before the trolls and everything jumped the shark. This was like when TechCrunch probably had 10,000 readers or something, right? Yeah. And he was just all over it. And that helped build the Mashable brand. And there's a few other people who are also all over it like that, which helped build their businesses and their brands.
Yeah, there you go. So you do something, it seems so small, it seems so, you know, irrelevant and insignificant, and it's planting the seed for something to grow into pretty big and significant. So
that's how you build an audience.
Yeah, there you go. Right, you're part of a community. You become a voice that's recognizable and that people appreciate. Right, that's all he did. And then he starts this journey of trying to be, you know, starting a side business, basically, I think at first, of building a very small piece of software, right, that does something very specific, but so tiny that the lack of ambition in it is like soul crushing to some people.
That's right.
Silicon Valley, right? So he's starting a bingo card creating website for teachers, right? Like, and because he had built so much karma on that community, he starts writing about it. And people care, want to listen, want to see what he's up to.
He has an audience.
He has an audience.
All of a sudden.
And because he's a good writer, I mean, I think that's an important thing.
He communicates very well.
He's a good communicator. He's a good writer. Him being very transparent, him doing something that a lot of people could identify with and say, yeah, I want to start a business that makes a few K a month. Like, that'd be fucking awesome. I don't want to move to Silicon Valley. I don't want to raise millions, but having a side business where you do something you love, you build a little software product and then make money, that's dope. So, and he writes about that journey. And again, I think that many people might think that when you do something that's so small, you want to hide it. Maybe they're embarrassed by it. Maybe they think this is not worthy of attention. This is not worthy to promote. And again, it shows like you start small and you're authentic and you share. And
it just starts growing. It's planting a seed and nurturing it. Yeah, it's beautiful.
So he starts doing that, and he did that for a while. That's another thing. It's not like
4 or 5 years or something like that. Yeah,
he worked on these. Yeah. He took these small steps, tiny steps, but just kept taking them, taking them.
Then he tried a second thing.
Yes, which was the
appointment reminder.
Appointmentreminder.org. Yeah. And there, you know, his ambition grew. I think at that point, did he start doing some consulting?
I think he did consulting because along the way with Bingo Card Creator, he was sharing like how he learned how to do SEO as an engineer and did it really well. And a lot of that got him, because of the Hacker News stuff and the brand he had built, he was able to get a lot of attention for it. It was also great content. And it led to a bunch of people knocking on his door and I'm sure offering him money to work with them. And,
yes.
And he also blogged about learning about that.
Yeah.
You know, as he went through that. So it's like one of those people who just shares everything they learn, right? And I'm sure it's very helpful to him himself, but it's also what his brand's all about and why people gravitate towards him.
Yeah, but it's the beautiful thing is he had this small software product, right, that was making, I don't know, a few thousand dollars, like nothing massive. Yeah. And then gets offered all these consulting gigs because he's so recognized within the startup community. And at first, I don't know what he was making, but eventually he started making like, I don't know, I have a 50K a week consulting rate or something.
Yeah, I think it was pretty high. Yeah.
It started off probably small at like 5 or 10K. And then he kept growing it as the demand grew. But that in itself is also such a beautiful thing to see of like starting consulting and being like, I don't really know what to charge here. I don't really know how to do this. And seeing how much value he created and going, wait a second, maybe I need to charge a lot more.
Yeah. And he learned and he talked about it.
Yeah. So he started doing consulting and making really tons of money there and good money there. And then he started the second thing, which was appointment reminder.
Yeah.
And I think there his ambition had grown a lot and he was flirting with the idea of seeing, can he make this a much bigger business?
That's right.
He also had learned that he loves teachers, but maybe doesn't want that type of audience as customers. And he doesn't want like a one time payment per year thing, yep. but really wants SaaS and subscription.
Yeah, like revenue, we all do.
Right? So we went through some of those lessons and went, all right, let's sell to businesses, let's sell a subscription product, and maybe I'm going to make this a much bigger business.
Yep.
And he worked on that for a while. That was the first business where he was not as transparent because he was always flirting with the idea of maybe raising money,
yeah.
maybe doing something
yeah.
else with it.
Yeah.
Also started doing a little bit of angel investing during that time.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. He invested in a few startups, yeah. Advised lots of really amazing companies, and started to get invited to be a speaker.
That's right.
See how it goes?
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is comment on a community.
That's right.
And like, whatever, yeah. 4 or 5 years yeah. later, whatever the time frame was, yeah. you're on stages invited all around the world
that's
to
right.
speak.
Yeah,
right?
That's pretty much how he did it. It's
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And very genuinely.
Yeah, very genuinely, small, consistent steps. Maybe never as concerned about I find people that are overly concerned. And when I was overly concerned with like, how can I get to this massive thing as quickly as possible?
Yeah.
You never get there because you're making the wrong choices for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. You just have to believe that, you know, you can just keep getting better and keep growing and not stress out too much on what the future looks like. Cause nobody knows what the future looks like. And you just have to create opportunity. And I think he found a great way to create opportunity for himself.
Yeah. So he goes from, you know, just community member to blogger to small software owner. To then having two small software products, to doing consulting, to being a speaker, right? And then having a real brand, you know, starting his podcast.
That's right.
Which I love. I hated that he, like, I don't know what the total number is, but I always felt he's not publishing a podcast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But the few interviews that he did on the podcast, I really liked and
Me
enjoyed.
Me too, he interviewed you, no?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I heard that one. That was a good one.
So
I really liked it.
So that was an interesting case because we emailed about something and then I told him I should be on the show.
That's
like,
awesome.
I like your podcast and I think your audience needs to listen to some sales advice. And I knew that he knew.
He was already thinking about it too.
He was thinking about sales. Yeah. He knew a bunch about it. And then what we did is he was like, you know what? I'm going to be in the Bay Area, you know, in a few months. Yeah. Let's talk then. And when he spent a whole day at the office.
Awesome.
Here. That's how we got to know each other. Yeah. He worked from the office for a few hours. Then he showed us what he was doing with appointment reminder and got some advice from us on the sales side.
Cool.
And we showed him some stuff that we were doing and got some advice from him.
Awesome.
Went for lunch and came back and recorded the podcast.
Right? Oh, that's
so
awesome.
We spent the whole day together. And so, you know, he's had a wild ride. And now, you know, more recently, he sold Appointment Reminder.
Yeah.
And he started, you know, Starfighter.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I think, even much bigger in ambition.
Yeah, much more ambitious,
And in his recent talk at MicroConf, he talked about, or Business or Software Conference, he talked about leveling up.
Yeah, that's right.
Leveling up. It's a beautiful talk. I don't know if it's online yet, but you should check it out if it is, about like how he started these small, tiny steps and like his ambition and his capabilities grew along the way.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to do this thing that's very big, very complex.
Yeah.
And he's doing some awesome things along the way. So, all right. So now we've given a little bit of background on him.
Totally.
Let's talk about some personal stories around him and what we like about him and where he's great or not great. I'll share my most favorite story, which is the most recent one from Boston a few months ago.
Cool.
So first of all, for people who don't know Patrick yet, you know, if you stand Patrick next to me, if you take the two of us, we couldn't be externally at least more different.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're a sales guy. He's an engineer.
Yes. Yeah. And he's like the most loving way, the most like geeky engineer.
Absolutely.
Like, possible. Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
I always joke that every time I see him at conferences, he looks like he slept in his clothes and he just walked into the room.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how he rolls.
That's how he rolls. Yeah. Right. But
no, he takes showers, I think. But besides
of course. I'm just trying to paint
the
picture.
That's the look. That's exactly it.
That's the look. Yeah. That's the look. But he has learned a lot about sales and marketing, and he really appreciates sales, although he's a very engineering engineer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's dangerous because he really gets it. So he's telling me, so we're on a walk, we're at a conference, he speaks there, I speak there, we go on at a speaker's dinner, and on the walk to the dinner, we catch up on a few things, and he's telling me this story that I love, which is basically that he was visiting the Bay Area to meet with a bunch of companies and try to get them to commit to being customers for Starfighter, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing pre-sales, which I love, and he's doing it in person.
Yeah. Right?
Which I love. So he's telling me about sitting down. I'll tell you what company that was, but I'm not going to say publicly on the podcast. Yeah. He's sitting down with the founder of a unicorn company that is not a bullshit unicorn. Like that company is going to be around. Yeah. We all love it. They're killing it. He's sitting down with the founder, telling him all about Starfighter, you know, try to get some feedback, some interest. And then at the end of the conversation, Patrick tells me, he's like, well, at the end of the conversation, I look at the founder and I go, do you know Stelly FD? And the founder goes, yeah, I know Stelly. And he goes, well, if Stelly was here, he would not allow me to end the conversation without a firm commitment that you're going to be a customer.
So good.
Oh, my God. The founder's reaction was like, this is so weird of you to say.
I'm an engineer, so I'm doing it.
He's like,
it's natural for
him. This is so unlike you to ask me to be a customer. Yeah. And Patrick's like, yeah, that's why I said if Stelly was here.
So good.
He would not allow me to end the conversation without a firm commitment. Right. I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. This is amazing. This is my most recent, most favorite Patrick McKenzie story.
That's a big achievement for you too.
Right.
That's
I love that I was in the mix there.
Yeah, that's right. What a way to convert.
Yes. And the founder was like, All right,
you got me.
So I love that. I love that. And I've told this story to a bunch of engineers already because it shows that you don't have to be flashy.
Do it your way.
You do it your way.
That's right. He did it his way.
He did it. He found a hack. He just made me part of the conversation.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Stelly would say this and this.
And then the guy said it back. And then he's like, yeah, that's why I said Stelly.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So that's one of my favorite stories. So, you know, he's very dangerous in sales. He gets it. He gets the basic fundamentals and why they're important.
He's dangerous in marketing, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. And he finds a very authentic way to use these tactics without trying to pretend to be somebody else.
Does it his way.
Does it his way.
And that's great advice for engineers. Great advice for anybody that feels like they can't do something out of their discipline, right? Out of their core thing that they do every day. Yeah, I think Patrick's definitely a big case study in that.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest case studies in out of his comfort zone kind of thing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But owning it.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing that's one of the most lovable things about human beings is when somebody is displaying their weakness or something they're uncomfortable with very publicly, and then they try to overcome it publicly, even before they know if they will or not.
That's
because
right.
Because something...
He's great at that.
You know, I'm very...
I think he knows he will. He just doesn't know how. Yes. That's the difference.
But you know what? Honestly, I'm great at looking back, at being very vulnerable about things that have happened, good or bad, once I have a bit of distance to them. But it's something completely different when you are about to go do something that's very uncomfortable and you're not sure if you're going to make it or not or how you're going to make it. You might have conviction that you will figure it out, but you don't quite yet know how.
No, you don't know how.
And then you open up and you share that with people. People will root for your success. They will love you because it's such a human thing and because we all can identify with that and we want to instantly support that person and help that person and we want that person to win.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's it's just brave. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
It's a good way to put it. He has a lot of courage.
He has a lot of courage. It's a brave thing to do. That's
why yourself out there.
That's why I think people resonate really, really strongly with that. All right. So what are other things? Do we have anything else that we want to highlight or talk about, Patrick, that might not be obvious to people who don't know him as well as we do? Heaton has a very thoughtful face. What are other things that we've observed with Patrick over the years?
I don't think there's a lot of people you can say who are just nice, just genuinely really nice, but at the same time, actually have a lot of ambition. And I think he falls in the category for me of like, I've never seen him get upset. I've never seen him get angry. I've seen him tired. I've seen him tired and going on stage and just fucking killing it on stage, even though he was tired. But I've never seen him angry. You know, even when people like mess with him, he just describes it in a very factual way. So I think I really like, and I think it